back in Proverbs chapter 8. And so often it's not just this verse that I would speak of, but it's a key into that, the passage in chapter 8 and verse 22. The words of wisdom, wisdom speaks, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old." Proverbs is a book of wise sayings, wise teaching. And as you read through the book, you could sum it up like this, that wisdom is learned through observation, looking at life that we live and around us, and also by receiving tradition that you learn from others. And both of these things mean that it takes time and it takes experience to gain wisdom. Proverbs, the book, has frequent calls to my son, next generation, and it demonstrates these things of experience to learn. The teacher in this book has experience to pass on to the younger generation, his son, or those who would come to him, as you might say, a spiritual father. He has this knowledge, this wisdom to pass on, but where does he get it from? Another teacher? Surely. But where did that other teacher get it from? It reflects a sequence of many years of this observation and teaching, passing on tradition. Every successive generation is younger than the one before it. And that takes you all the way back to, let's call it, the beginning. But when the beginning began, where did wisdom come from then? When mankind began our history, where did we get our wisdom? How did Adam and Eve know how to live? Was there wisdom of this kind? Observation, receiving tradition, and so on. Was there wisdom of light and insight into the affairs and the concerns of life? How best should man live? Was wisdom available? Was wisdom to hand, to be taken hold of? And if it was, who had it? But we have an insight, a light on that, in this passage. Proverbs chapter 8 expounds a very important aspect if we are to live wisely and therefore live well. And through, especially the beginning of this verse, but then also what's built on it, I would highlight this morning briefly, first that it is divine wisdom. It is also eternal wisdom. It is wisdom that's at work. It's working wisdom. We see, too, that it's rejoicing wisdom. And finally, that it is guiding wisdom. Let me take you through a little in these verses. It is, first, divine wisdom. Our text, verse 22, begins, "The Lord possessed me. I belonged to the Lord." The following lines and verses show how the Lord worked. He was at work. He is referred to quite a number of times through the following verses. And those verses are telling that how he worked in his wisdom. The Lord possessed me. It belonged to him. And we'll see in a moment that it was an eternal possession. But this is not to say that it only belonged to him then, and then he left it behind, or he passed it on and had nothing more to do with it. It's saying where it began, how things were at the beginning. And what follows is based on that foundation. It's divine wisdom. The Lord possessed me. There are several things that I might say from that should strike us. But it's this very, very wisdom which is offered to us. That's what a number of these chapters are doing, saying, I'm this wisdom that's speaking. I'm calling to you to listen. I will give myself to you. Who are you? You might turn around and say, I'm the wisdom that belongs to God. I am the wisdom that is in God, that He offered, that He has in Himself. That's the wisdom that's offered to you. Divine wisdom. That's what these chapters are talking about. And here, as though wisdom is recognizes, who are you, this question? How do I know that you have so much to offer me? I'm the one. I'm what the Lord Himself had before all things came into being. If it's divine wisdom, it is also consistent. It's out of the heart of the sovereign, the all-knowing God, the one who is not moved by moments or events of history, the one who has established the foundations of this world in which we live. It's that wisdom, or it's Him and it's His wisdom, again, that is offered to us. But I might also say that it's decisive. It's this wisdom which, in the following verses, put all these things into being. It's not a matter for dispute. We do try and dispute it, don't we, often? Maybe not in those words, in words saying it's not wise, that's foolish, but in the way we live, in the way we respond to God's wisdom. But it's this same Lord who made this world, made us by this wisdom. Made us. And He knows where we are now. He knew that before the beginning of our time. And yet He went ahead. Wisdom is about the very best, in the best possible way. And He didn't say, no, I'm not going to do it, because it will turn out that way. It's decisive. It has set things in place as they are, the very wisdom of God. It will always prevail. Being divine, second thing is that it is also eternal. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before the works of old, and those works that He took then, that wisdom then goes on to talk about from verse 23 and the following verses. At the beginning of His way. That's not to tell us that God ever had a beginning. It's a poetic expression to the point about this is from the other side. It's to say that there was never a point when God did not have this wisdom. God is eternal, the wisdom is eternal. Put it that way. Is there a beginning? No, there isn't, but if that's the only way we have of describing it, God's wisdom was with Him then too. It's eternal. It's not that God has been learning wisdom by observation Himself. He doesn't form His wisdom by the day-to-day running or calculating and working out what's my response now. It's not on-the-job development. This wisdom was before His works of old. In the C.S. Lewis Narnia books, there's a point where the Aslan, I think it is, talks about there's an older magic. Well, we don't talk about magic particularly, but there's an older wisdom than any wisdom of man, any mere experience of man. This is taking us back to that ancient, eternal wisdom. We do find that things in this world are messed up, we might say. And then people turn around and say, well, that wisdom wasn't very wise. But God has a plan. It is His eternal wisdom to accomplish what's best, to accomplish the excellent. Back in verse 6, we didn't read it, but in verse 6 of chapter 8, wisdom says, "Listen, for I will speak of excellent things." That is the pursuit of this wisdom. It's God's pursuit to produce excellent, surpassing excellent results. And it's this wisdom that calls to you and to me to listen. Someone once said that standards will always be out of fashion or out of date. That, I suppose, perhaps reflects that it is out of date. It is out of our time-bound way of doing things. The true standards are this eternal wisdom of God. Man does change, and you change day by day, don't you? But the Lord, His instruction, His wisdom, they do not change. It's eternal, it's consistent, reliable wisdom. And God is perfectly prepared that you put that to the test. That's what this chapter is about. This claim, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before His works of old." Now look, this is what I've been involved in all this time. Look at what wisdom has to offer. Examine, consider closely and fairly. That's wisdom, the work that wisdom does. My third heading, working wisdom. This eternal divine wisdom, "I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth." And that's the door in to what follows and the work of this wisdom. Is wisdom merely an interested bystander? Is God doing His work and from another perspective, shall we say? Here, in these chapters, wisdom is personified. It talks about wisdom as a person. Wisdom speaks as though wisdom is a person. But it's never independent of persons. If you are wise, it's your wisdom. Just as here, it is the Lord's wisdom. God is a person. Wisdom is His. But the wisdom does speak and says, "I was there. I was being applied." The work that God did was wise work. "I was there," in verse 30, "as a master craftsman." What a picture that is. See all this thing that's being done? It was done by a master craftsman. It was done in a masterly way. The Lord did His work applying His wisdom. Wisdom was only ever pleased with God's work. It was wise wisdom. The work that we have especially in mind is the work of creation. That puts it so bluntly, doesn't it? The poetry expresses it so freshly. From verse 23 especially, "From the beginning, before there was ever an earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth," and so on. Wisdom was there. Wisdom participated, you might say, took a great part in this. So how God went about it was characterized as wise. If you want to test the wisdom of God, if you want to test the wisdom of the Bible, try here. That's what it's saying. These were people who read this were men and women just like you and me, and they lived on the earth, and they were troubled with the storms and the droughts and all these things of this world. But still the Bible says, you take a good look and be fair in your estimation. Take a good look at this world you live in. Is God wise? Was God wise in the way that He made these things? Are things working for good? Are things working harmoniously? And many people would say, no, they're not today. There's such trouble in this world. Wisdom is pointing to creation. The mountains, the hills, the seas. It is well ordered. There's a great deal of trouble in the world. How much of it is directly our responsibility and not God's? There are those devastating occasions, earthquakes and so on. But yet there's a tremendous order. And the consequences of any of these things, they follow through according to a pattern. The troubles in this world, if not all, are a man's sin, not God's wisdom. But even so, just what a powerful creation we live in. When there is a disaster, look at the restorative power of the environment. Look at the way that just one small factor changes in an ecosystem. And the whole thing is destabilized for a time. One little thing has an impact far-reaching. But even so, even with all the trouble, we've not fallen off the earth, have we? Gravity maintains. How? Minutest variations in DNA produce such variety of creatures. But all of these things are only discovered by man. Man never made them. They're all there. Wisdom says, I was there when they were made. I had a part in that. And I'm achieving something wonderful, the very best in it. Now people might dispute, but that's on other grounds. If you want to know what the Bible says, this is what the Bible says about it. The Bible says, this is a remarkable creation. Just there, that's what it's talking about. And God has done it very wisely. With eternal wisdom. And a wisdom that you can share. This is the kind of wisdom I am. The one who is calling to you. The wisdom that can make this universe, in all its intricacy and majesty, offers to you to share in it. We realize too that it was rejoicing wisdom. There should be a note of rejoicing in all of these things, just talking about the great complexities and the majesty and the wonder of this world in which we live. That in itself, and wisdom says, I rejoice in it. I was daily his delight, in verse 30. Rejoicing always before him. Wisdom is pleased with God's work. If we are wise, we will be too. Wisdom was pleased with the results then. Wisdom is insight. Insight truly includes foresight. Wisdom was pleased with what that work was to entail and what it was to produce in all the generations to follow. What was done in that initial work of creation was wise for the lifetime of creation. But above all of that, wisdom doesn't just say, I was rejoicing always before him as this master craftsman, but goes on to say, verse 31, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Inhabited can mean all kinds of creatures, living creatures, but it usually has a special reference to mankind. And if there's any doubt about that, the second line says it very clearly, my delight was with the sons of men. God, in his wisdom, takes special delight in you and in me. It's part of the human race. Man was made in the image of God, was the peak of the whole work. Man was made to function as God's representative. That was God's wisdom, that it should be so. This was the height of joy for wisdom. And wisdom will not joy. Wisdom will not rejoice over anything that's not wise. Our making and our history is a cause for rejoicing to God in His wisdom. And that indicates that wisdom has always been at work. Put it this way, God in His wisdom has always been at work to bring about the highest outcome so that He could rejoice in it, in its glory. But then all of this is working to say something to you and to me. Now therefore, this is the wisdom I am, the wisdom that was with the Lord before His works of old, divine, eternal, at work, being God's wisdom, the wisdom that rejoices, God saw, and it was all very good. And this is the wisdom that now says, verse 32, listen to me, my children, hear me, be wise. Whoever finds me finds life, in verse 35. All of that, you too can live by that wisdom. God offers this wisdom. He doesn't shut it away and keep it to Himself. There is no obstacle whatsoever, except if you're persuaded by the other voices that Proverbs talks about. God, in His wisdom, offers His wisdom openly, without prevention, without obstacle, except what you might put there. In James, he writes in his first chapter, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Just ask. You want wisdom, you want to be wise, you want to know how to live this life, just ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. It's wide open. You can take what you want of His wisdom. So the question is, how much do you want? And how much do you want it? And that means humility. It means humbling ourselves. It means not insisting on your own way through life, by your own wisdom. So often we don't even allow the wisdom of a previous generation into our lives, until it's almost too late. Allow this wisdom in, eternal wisdom, been there from the beginning. But if you insist on living according to your own wisdom, that's a sin against God's wisdom, verse 36, and you wrong your own soul. You do yourself no favors whatsoever. You do yourself great harm. Those who hate me, who resist me, who put the obstacles up in front of me, will not allow me into their lives. Do you know what that means? That means you love death, not life. You're not living the life that, according to the wisdom that is freely available, the life that God has given you, the way that God has made you to be. There are just a few requirements that the prophet says God looks for from you. There's justice and there's mercy towards others, and to walk humbly before your God, to say, Lord, you know the way, lead me in it. I'll take you back to verse 6. Why do we not take this wisdom? Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. And I could read all of those verses again. Tremendous blessing may be found here. We need to realize that there is not one wisdom for God and another wisdom for us. I am God's wisdom. I'm this eternal divine wisdom, but I'm the one who says, listen to me. I will give myself to you. It's wisdom for us because it's God's wisdom. Because we're made for Him. He didn't make us to keep us apart, to be just a toy. He made us for Himself and for fellowship with Himself, and if where He goes that we go, to share His joys, His blessings, And yes, Jesus says of his people, even his glory. That is life. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. This eternal wisdom will give you that new life, that entry into life. It's this great divine wisdom which speaks, which is always there speaking, which is always there showing us the way. It's this divine wisdom which is the sprout from which, the spring from which all those catchy little practical sayings of Proverbs come. If you don't read this, if you don't set this firmly in your mind and your heart, when you come to chapter 10 and what follows, the wise sayings of Solomon, you'll go through those and you'll say, yeah, I like that one, I don't like that one. This wisdom says, no, that's not the way. Every one of those is a treasure for you. And the practical direction that is there at first glance. You'll be told how to do something and you'll say, no, I still want to do it my own way. But hear this call from wisdom first. Find that life. Find just how those sayings and those directions are true. Reason to rejoice. Or will you continue to choose your own way? Then why listen to them at all? But let's acknowledge this wisdom. Recognize that it is only found in this, in God, only truly found in Him. Recognize that it is this eternal wisdom that's offered to us. It's unchangeable, it's therefore trustworthy, it's true. And listen to her. Listen to the Lord. Set that firmly as the rule for your heart. How do the other things come from that? Then you will receive the saints. You will recognize that they are sure and certain guides. And you too will grow in understanding. Some of them you might say, well, that's strange. But if you know it's the wisdom of God, you'll say, but it's true. God grant me the understanding. And let me live by them. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. May God grant blessing on his word to us today. We'll now pray together once more.